Hello and welcome to the future.
And Charles, lots of stories this week to talk about in the tech world. Some of them feel like old stories that have come back afresh. For instance, a giant privacy violation, courtesy of our friends at Tesla. Far bigger than even the one where you could look into Elon Musk's own garage from anywhere on the Tesla network.
Yeah, so because I thought that they were just an abomination of privacy from start to finish, but you're, what you're saying is they're even more than an abomination
of
privacy.
No, whatever the level is above abomination, we'll get to that. Also, I've got an update for you on an amazing new device from Sony that turns your PlayStation into something that it can already do, but more expensively.
Oh, that sounds very good. And I've got an update on organoid intelligence, which I've covered before, as well as a little sneak peek at the latest watch from Google.
Oh, what? How could that not be wonderful? Let's begin after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Charles, you might remember that you know, here in Australia we've had some smaller scale data breaches, you know, your Medibank privates, your Optuses and so on.
Yeah, just 10 million highly personal pieces of medical data on the dark web. Nothing, no biggie.
Well, this news story from The Guardian says that Tesla's failed to adequately protect data from customers, employees and business partners. They've had thousands of customer complaints about the driver's assistance system, and apparently 100 gigabytes of confidential data have been leaked, including more than 100,000 names of former and current employees, including Elon Musk's social security numbers, salaries, bank details, secret details from productions, and all kinds of things. Apparently, it's the biggest data breach ever, according to European regulators. And if proven, they might get fined 4% of their annual sales, $3.5 billion as a result.
So wait a minute. So why is Europe involved? I thought Tesla was based in America.
Yeah, but Europe has proper privacy.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Yeah,
that's why it's come through there. And so, for instance, if you complain to Tesla, for instance, about there were 4,000 complaints about the braking not working and sudden acceleration. So basically, the controls of the car fucking up. What they'll do is they'll keep your details, and they'll be part of a massive data leak. So that everyone gets your details.
Ah, right. So it's sort of like a bit of moral hazard there in discouraging people to complain about their runaway Teslas.
Yeah, you can complain because we're incompetent at putting the car together. But what if, Charles, we were also incompetent at looking after your personal data?
So wait a minute. That means Elon Musk's social security number is out in the wild. Does this mean we can apply for loans in Elon Musk's name?
I presume somebody did that and that's why he owns Twitter. I don't imagine he consciously wanted to buy it.
Right, okay.
And I must say, Charles, you and I think there was a point a few years ago where you and I genuinely both, if we'd had the spare cash, if it hadn't been tied up in podcasting, we would have liked to have bought a Tesla. Like they were, I test drove one and I was blown away. I thought it was incredibly
cool.
That's
true, yeah. And that's not something that you would think anymore.
It's not something you would even vaguely consider. Yeah. Like it's not even the massive incompetence with the privacy and all this. I just don't trust a car run by Elon Musk to not fuck up. You can't even run Twitter without fucking it up. I don't want to drive my family in an Elon Musk quality assured product.
But it's also a bit like buying a VW in 1939 or something, isn't it? It's a sort of... There's a sort of Nazi component to the whole, you know, Elon Musk vibe.
I don't know why you're saying, just because in the past week he shared on Twitter a video questioning trans women's rights. Like, why would you think that Elon was somehow, you know, imposing his fairly noxious views on the rest of us?
Well, doesn't he want to make it illegal for people to transition or something? Like it's quite, and it's about jailing people who want to transition and stuff like that, and all the medical practitioners involved in that.
I mean, you wouldn't want to be throwing people who disagree with you into jail. That wouldn't be fascistic at all.
Anyway, point is though, Dom, just getting back to the data privacy, I think it's very – I think this is a real breakthrough that now if you buy an appliance like a car or a fridge, you've got to also worry about the privacy implications of that. You can't just – like when I bought my Mazda, you know, 15 years ago, there was no universe in which you go, oh, I've bought a Mazda – now I've got to be worried about that it'll keep tracking me and then, you know, like my car will be able to see into my garage and then it'll leak to the dark web everywhere I've been. Now that's just de rigueur.
Yeah, because your car didn't connect to the fucking internet, which at one point seemed exciting. Yeah. I mean, I remember when this all started, it seemed as though, what an amazing world we're living with connected fridges and connected cars. Everything will just be part of this amazing, they called it the Internet of Things, Charles.
Yes.
And now it's the Internet of Massive Privacy Violations and Cyber Surveillance.
Yes. So somebody should write a book about that. It could be called Surveillance Capitalism.
They could.
Yeah.
They could.
Yeah.
The great thing is, though, that Elon Musk has at least caught up in it. The thing that would have been most galling is if Elon himself had somehow been quarantined. Like in much the same way that most of us on Twitter have to write something that's popular and have everyone share it for it to be viewed. Whereas if you're Elon, you just buy Twitter and get your engineers to just redo the codes that everyone sees every one of his fucking stupid meme tweets about Dogecoin.
See, I muted Elon Musk the day he took over.
Can you do that?
Yes, I did, yes. It totally works. I have a Elon Musk-free Twitter experience.
I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
It does mean you're on the list though.
Probably. Yeah. Yes.
You'll be in jail alongside everyone involved in giving, you know, trans people their rights.
Luckily for all the criminals, I've got you, because my credit rating would be so low that you won't be able to take loans out in my name.
I've already tried. Yeah, it didn't work.
Okay, so next story. Let's do the one about the latest Pixel Watch.
I'm very keen to know because I'm very interested in smartwatches. I mean, I'm very much Apple, Team Apple, but I saw an Android phone the other day, the first one that really tempted me.
Well, Google's been running a new slogan for their Pixel range.
Oh, really?
Which is, it's, you know, the only phone or the only device engineered by Google.
Yes.
It's all about being engineered by Google.
Oh, that's right. They made the whole thing themselves, like Apple might do.
Key selling point, right. So, what's the one thing, Dom, that you wouldn't want to happen to a watch if you bought a really expensive watch?
I wouldn't want it to not be able to tell the time correctly. I always wouldn't want it to surveil me everywhere that I go. I mean, it's hard to know which of the obvious Google fuck-ups it would be. Well, would it be simply leaking my data?
No, it's none of those things.
Okay.
What's something that if you were advertising that the key selling point of this device is that it's been engineered by Google – what is something that would be unfortunate for that device to then do?
Just Google. Well, build up a profile of me that they can serve their advertising.
Okay. No. So what happens is, and lots of users have been reporting this, it just the back falls off.
I thought it was like one of the known things that Google does, not just shit engineering.
No.
I shouldn't realise.
It's just... So apparently they've gone for a screwless design, which is very popular.
Very clever.
Very popular with smartphones. Not so popular with watches, though, because you put your watch on and off and, you know, they're
quite... Yeah, you take it on, you put it in the water, all that kind of stuff.
You get knocks and sort of thing like that. Well, they've gone for the screwless design and as a result... The back of the watch keeps falling off. There's like hundreds of photos on the web of people whose watches have just sort of just fallen apart in their hands. And apparently there's no even apparent sort of glue or gel or anything.
No, that's old.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
It just is supposed to sort of be together through sheer force of will.
Through optimism.
Through optimism.
Yeah.
And so these... But their selling point is that they're engineered by Google and they fall apart. But
Charles, the great thing is that probably even with the back falling off,
Yes.
That watch is still able to build a very complex profile of you to sell to advertisers.
Yes, that's true.
I'd have every confidence that part still works.
Well, and also they can sell the data on what you then did with your watch.
Yeah.
Having had it fall apart.
For instance, they would probably find, Charles, I bet that they know that as soon as that happens, people Google, I don't know, how to repair a stupid Google watch and then how much is my watch worth and if I sell it on eBay without a back?
I reckon Google are so smart, though, that they probably already start advertising you watch repairs the moment you bought the watch, like before it's even broken. So it's front of mind.
And what I presume is they sell repair kits.
Yes.
Not engineered by Google. And everyone just... Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, look, this is one of those things that they've tried so hard to come up with different designs of smartwatches. Didn't Google buy Fitbit? Like the other major supplier.
Fitbit made great
smartwatches and smart devices.
Yes,
but they had great trackers.
The problem with the Fitbits was that their backs didn't pull off.
Yes, that's true.
But then, so they were
engineered by Fitbit.
They've resolved that.
And they actually really worked.
Yeah.
That's good. Good on them for this is what they do. They buy they bought Nest.
Yes.
Nest was a very good company making connected devices.
Yes.
Nest, all these doorbells, all these products, very innovative.
Yes.
Google bought them.
Yes.
And now not only do they not work as well, but they're intrusive. The one thing you don't want is Google buying the company that makes all the smart cameras you have around the house.
Yes.
And suddenly all the stuff goes into Google servers.
But I do think perhaps the reason why they make them so shit is because, say, you're in a market that's dominated by Apple.
Yes.
You need to have product differentiation, Dom.
Yeah.
And if Apple is selling, privacy, things that honour your privacy and don't fall apart, you as a competitor have to distinguish yourself by going, no, our ones invade your privacy and fall apart all the time.
They call it a USP, don't they?
Unique selling point. Unique selling point. Yeah.
I've had many.
Maybe that's what they meant by Google, engineered by Google. The only watch engineered by Google, shorthand for that falls apart.
Yeah, that's about to be re-engineered by your local repairer. Well, Charles, it's an exciting week in the device world. I mean, Apple's supposedly launching their big VR headset this week. We'll have a review of that elsewhere in the feed because I have amazing confidence in Apple's ability to fuck up new product introductions. Now, admittedly, the watch and the iPad, they've expanded their range.
Mm.
And even the iPhone itself, they've managed to expand their range beyond computers. But there are so many amazingly shit Apple products. And people forget. People forget about the Newton Message Pad, for instance.
Yes.
People forget about the Pippin, which was their game console.
Mm.
They've released a lot of other little products that were totally shit and didn't work.
Yes.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
May well be. This VR headset, I don't know which way they're going to go. I really don't.
Well, I've heard rumors that it overheats.
I've heard rumors it costs $3,000.
I've heard
which is more plausible.
I've heard rumors that it's not even in manufacturing yet and that it won't come out till November at the earliest.
Oh, so they're going to just show the operating system. Yeah, quite possibly. I've also heard rumors that it's a thing. It fits on your face. It's beautifully engineered like those ridiculously expensive AirPod Max that no one can afford, those huge over-ear headphones with the beautiful stuff. But apparently the power source is not on the headset.
Yes.
So there's going to be a wire with a battery pack.
Yes.
Because that's really cool. That's what we all want.
But, when AirPods first got released, everyone went, no one's going to walk around with those.
Yeah,
and everyone does.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see whether it actually works out. We'll give you the most credible review having not tried them because people who've gone to, Apple Park and actually reviewed them, they'll have too much information.
They're too partial.
Right.
We'll be impartial.
Speaking of new products, Charles, is it something else I want to mention? And very exciting. I'm a bit of a fan of the PlayStation line of consoles. I haven't bothered with the PlayStation 5 because I have children so I don't have time anymore. But I owned every previous PlayStation. I enjoyed them.
Yes.
I enjoyed them a lot. And in recent time, I've been playing Nintendo Switch, so I like the portability of the Switch. It's great.
Mm.
You can plug it into, turn it into a TV-based console or just pick it up and take it with you and play on the go.
Mm.
So Sony have got a brilliant concept to enter that space. It's called Project Q. I'm not entirely sure what the final version of it is yet. And it's a handheld device you can take anywhere and play PS5 quality games.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Yes. Via Wi-Fi connected to your existing PS5 console back at home. So what this does is it's essentially, if you imagine a little kind of tablet or a little phone with a nice big screen with a PlayStation DualShock controller split in half and on either side of it.
Mm.
So, Charles, we don't actually know yet whether or not it only works on Wi-Fi within your own home, right? So you can be in a different room from the PS5 playing the PS5 for hundreds of dollars, or whether it actually works if you leave the home, assuming that your home and the place that you're in have fast Wi-Fi.
But wouldn't the isn't the whole point about games that ping is really important?
Yeah.
And wouldn't that just massively increase your ping?
Massively increase your ping, yeah, inevitably so. That's why it doesn't seem to work on cellular. We're not clear that it works on cellular.
Right.
But there already is.
So it's basically a web browser.
Yes, for your that connects to your PS5. Yeah. But the hilarious thing is, they actually already make a thing that does that called Remote Play. You can connect an iPad, for instance.
And I think Google's got their own version as well, they shut down recently.
So you can
because it was engineered by Google.
Yeah, of course. So the back fell off.
Yeah.
You can connect your PS5 via an iPad or whatever.
Mm.
You just haven't paid for this very expensive way of doing it.
Why wouldn't they just make it so that it's a portable PS5?
I think it'd be too expensive and heavy because it'd have to have all the processing.
But no, but you just do the Apple trick and you just have the PS5 on your belt.
Oh, just strapped and, to and have massively heavy thing.
Have a little wire that goes up to the...
I mean, people have been criticising Nintendo, right, over the Switch because its graphics are much shitter than everything else and it costs almost as much.
Mm.
But this is the genius of it.
Yes.
They just went, let's come up with really good games with not very good graphics and no one will give a shit.
Yes.
And it will be genuinely portable.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom. It is really fun. It's really fun.
Is that on Nintendo?
Switch, yeah. Very low-res graphics. It's a bit pastel-y. I don't give a shit because it's a really good game. I mean, Sony could have tried that approach, but instead they've got this very expensive Wi-Fi-based console, the Project Q. Check it out.
Check it out. And in final news for this episode, we're going to just go back. Do you remember we talked about organoid intelligence?
Yes, this was rather than fully kind of binary computers and artificial computers, it was integrating living tissue, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. So I don't know whether you remember, but at the end of last year we talked about the company DishBrain, that the scientists managed to train 800,000 brain neurons in a dish to play Pong.
Oh, well, I remember that now. Yeah, that's right. The Petri dish that could play Pong. Yeah.
Yes. So I just wanted to update you on what's happening with that. So this billionaire called
– let me guess, it can now play Frogger.
So Hong Kong's richest person, Lee Ka-ching, what a great name for a billionaire, has invested $15 million Australian, that's $10 million US – in Cortical Labs, which made DishBrain, and they're predicting it's going to be the next big thing. And this is off the back of – so 4 days ago, Nature magazine published the first peer review article about this Pong experiment.
Oh, yeah, like, nice.
It's been properly written up and it's all turned out to be true. It's actually happened. And the stats are incredible. So the way it works is it took 4 weeks to train this Petri dish to play Pong.
Mm.
To use a normal computer, like supercomputer, like the fastest supercomputer, it would take 175 years to do the same thing.
Really?
And it's 10 to the 6, whatever that is, factor more energy efficient than using silicon, basically.
How fascinating.
So the point is, if we're going to actually – like everyone's basically saying organoid intelligence is the next big thing because if you need the sort of graphical processing power that exists with for artificial intelligence, like all those sorts of things, then the only real way to do it is to sort of ramp up your intelligence through organoid intelligence.
This is so exciting, Charles, because for so many years, I mean in the past week – we've seen the founder of OpenAI and a lot of other major tech honchos writing a letter. I think 31 of them wrote a letter saying, you know, artificial intelligence is very dangerous. It could lead to extinction. We've got to be very careful with this technology. And now I see that that's not the case at all.
No.
We're actually worried about organoid intelligence.
Yes.
Which combines you know, computer processing and all this kind of stuff with the flaws of human tissue.
Yes.
With the terrible, I mean, imagine the terrible judgments and incredibly foolish behavior of humans.
Yes.
In a supercomputer.
Yes.
With whatever it is, 10 to the power of 6 times more power than AI.
Like, you know, if you think that the Tesla data leak was bad now, just imagine when organoid intelligence is organizing all the Tesla data.
Yes.
And it'll be like 175 million times worse.
It'll accidentally eradicate the whole of human life trying to download porn. That's just what it will do. So basically it's at the point now where I think we can very clearly call for any superior alien civilizations to just take over. Like, we don't have a path out that's good from here.
Oh, God, no.
Just come on down.
Yep.
Make it happen. Look, if we have to be your slaves or your little batteries like in The Matrix, that's okay. Just project images of Sydney in the you know, in the late 90s. That was a good time for me, the late 90s in Sydney.
Yeah.
Just project those images and we'll be none the wiser. It won't matter.
Yeah. Because the best ideas we can come up with at the moment without all this technology is to have a PlayStation that you can play in a different room.
Presumably in 10 years with the current evolution technology, they will have figured out how to teach a Petri dish to play a PlayStation that's in a different room that only has Wi-Fi and that already owns a PlayStation 5.
But I think we'll be fine because so far they've talked about linking organoid intelligence to silicon intelligence. So there'll be hybrid computers, which inevitably means that at some point the organoid intelligence will be linked to Bluetooth.
Oh!
And then it will stop working and we don't have to worry.
As long as they don't develop Bluetooth that works, humans are safe. There we go. Our gear is from Ride. We're part of the Iconoclast Network. Catch you next time in the future.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.